Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We do need to understand this. I saw an article that we wanted to try and get some clarity on, talking about sugar and alcohol. Jenna Selly is a registered dietitian in private practice. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, very well. Thanks. And yourself?
All right. So as a dietitian, firstly, what do you recommend on this cold, cold morning to keep us nice and warm?
Oh, I would definitely recommend a lovely cup of rooibos tea. I hope you're not insinuating a glass of alcohol to start the morning.
Well, there was hoping. and rooibos tea, of course, a very, very,
sure.
Yeah, nice, a South African staple. But let's talk about sugar and alcohol, because
yes,
there's this trend, right? And you have all of these drinks that combine the two. Tell us from a dietitian's perspective or from a health perspective what that is like.
So when it comes to, I know the whole topic of today's talk is, you know, sugar, alcohol, hangover, all of that related. And, you know, when it comes to a hangover, you know, the hangover is generally caused by dehydration from a toxic chemical called ethanol, which is obviously in the alcohol. And the ethanol acts as a diuretic, and the diuretic means that it makes you urinate a lot more, and this is what causes the dehydration and that feeling of what we know as a hangover the next day. But what a lot of people don't know is that sugar can also have a bit of an impact on our body as well. What we generally see with a lot of drinks nowadays is drinks are being combined with a lot of additives and sweeteners and syrups, and it's actually starting to mask the amount of alcohol that we're drinking. So you find that people are less aware of their consumption. And as a result, people are drinking a lot more alcohol as well as sugar. And we see this, and it's also a risk, you know, for people that are diabetic, that the intake of sugar causes this very high blood sugar spark, and as a result, the subsequent insulin spark. But sparks are always met with drops, and this is what we call reactive hypoglycemia. And what happens is this can happen for some people, depending on the drink, this can actually happen after only two drinks, where we get this massive drop in blood sugar. And, you know, that can have effects on the body and that seem very similar to high blood sugar. So, you know, things like tiredness, brain fog, dizziness, and for some people that are out for very long amounts of time, this can actually happen while they are still out. And then because they're getting this drop, they try to pick it up with more sugar, and it's quite a vicious cycle.
So there are a number of points that you're making there. The first one is just to be aware, if you're having an alcohol drink that has sugar in it, there's a good chance you're going to drink more because the sugar is hiding or disguising the alcohol. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And that is obviously a concern. In terms of the body's reaction, I know that if I drink there was at one stage like some, and they might still be around, I just can't drink them, is like a tequila that's got a flavor in it, and it's quite sweet. I find if I drink that, I feel terrible from it. I get almost these heart palpitations. There's something in it that really makes me feel terrible even when I've drunk it, sugar and alcohol together. Mm-hmm. What would that be?
So I would, you know, when it comes to your sugar, it's mainly just the side effects, as I've mentioned, of having too much sugar or that subsequent blood sugar or reactive hypoglycemia. So that's generally what we would, that's the feeling that you're getting that's making you feel off.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So people should be aware of that not everybody can tolerate sugar and alcohol together. And it might be making you feel poorly. Also, as I said, as you said, you would drink more alcohol because the sugar disguises it. And then you've got these dual drops where you've got alcohol in your system and a sugar high almost in a way. And then your sugar levels plummet. And then that also makes you feel awful.
Yes. And remember, alcohol is actually absorbed a lot quicker in the body than food, where, you know, food is digested in the stomach and then mainly absorbed in the small intestine. A lot of alcohol is actually absorbed straight from the stomach, so it's also getting to our bloodstream a lot quicker, and we're getting these reactions our body's reacting a lot quicker as well.
How long does it, so alcohol gets absorbed and reacts quicker than, let's say, the sugar would do?
Sugar is absorbed also quite quickly. I mean, you know, when it comes to things like carbohydrates, you know, most of our foods, our protein and our fat is digested and absorbed a bit later in the gut. The carbohydrates is actually, it starts to get broken down actually from the mouth, from an enzyme called salivary amylase. And you generally find that your carbohydrates are absorbed a lot quicker than other foods in the body.
Right. And that is something, of course, to be aware of. So what should people do?
So there are a few alternatives that people can go for. You know, I think of an important point to note is people think that sugar-free Coke and sugar-free tonics and you know, sugar-free Sprite kind of cancel out the sugar, and then as a result, they're so much better because if you look at the back, you can see it says carbs, zero, fat, zero, and then you think, oh, this is so great. But, you know, you can still taste the sweetness, and people must remember that a lot of these sugar-free drinks are actually sweetened, and a lot of them are sweetened with a sweetener called aspartame. And aspartame isn't one of the more favorite sweeteners, we would say. Research has shown that it has been associated still with the increased risk of diabetes type 2. I've noticed this in my practice where people have come in, we've checked their insulin, we've checked something called their HbA1c, which is your average blood sugar over 2 to 3 months, and we can see that people are starting to become more diabetic, and they say, oh, but I drink sugar-free tonic. And you must remember that this can still have an associated risk with diabetes. It also still has an associated risk with cardiovascular diseases, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, hormone-related cancers. So then people probably throw their hands up in the air, and as you ask, you know, then what can we drink? And I think the biggest thing that needs to come through in this conversation is moderation. You know, anything in excess, even if it's sugar-free, can still increase your risk of diseases. So if you were to go out and you were going to try and look for the healthiest alternative, you know, if you like beer, go for a light beer, which is closer to only 100 calories. You know, if you're going to have a glass of wine, you can also go for like a white wine spritzer, where you also add some sort of tonic or something in there to almost dilute that effect as well. Interesting research on the side note also shows that if you have one glass of wine, it can have antioxidant benefits. But if you have more than that, the potential of having possible antioxidant or anti-inflammatory benefits goes away. So, again, just that conversation of moderation. There's also something called a seltzer, or I might be pronouncing it not so good, but a water. I think it's like a sparkling water vodka mix, or, you know, your own vodka and soda water, your apple spritzes, sometimes even like a neat shot, like a whiskey on the rocks. And if you go for G&T, you know, as I said, you'd want to go for the sugar-free tonic, but that doesn't negate
but don't be
the
fooled.
Possibility
don't,
that it can
right.
cause yeah, these conditions still.
And that seems to be, the message here is actually quite a simple one, in that it's just about moderation. That
yes.
if you go out and you want to have a glass of wine, of course do that. Or you want to have a whiskey, maybe stick with the more pure types of alcohol that you know what you're drinking, or have a G&T, have a sugar free, but it doesn't mean that you can have six of those, because that's really going to start that's going to start impacting. Anton L says everything in moderation, including moderation. Yes, well, I suppose every now and then you are allowed to be not moderate, but as long as it's only every now and then, Anton L. But it is right, and I think that's the message. That's what we're starting to see with a lot of these types of conversations that we're having, is this, that we're moving away from almost a madness of cutting out food groups and cutting out things. Mm-hmm. And the message is really one of moderation, that you need to build a lifestyle that's sustainable and healthy.
Yes,
and
exactly.
That you could live a life, but actually live it in a positive and balanced way.
Yes. I mean, you know, generally when it comes to, a lot of people say, well, then how much alcohol should you have? You know, can't have a week. We generally don't want to be exceeding more than 4 units. You know, a unit is a shot or a half glass of wine or 2 or 3 30 tin of, you know, a beer or a cider. And you shouldn't be having more than that a week. And, you know, moderation helps with prevention, but we must also remember that some people need cure. You know, some people have renal failure. Some people have peptic ulcer disease. Some people have diabetes. And these people need to understand that your recommendation for this moderation is less applicable when you have
Absolutely.
A medical condition.
Yes.
So it's important, you know, that,
just that, to bear that
people
in mind.
Do have a medical condition, that they seek professional advice and that they actually get blood tests done to see their liver function enzymes, to see their insulin. Because remember, a lot of people aren't diabetic yet, but the insulin resistance, and
right.
one in three people who are insulin resistant will progress to diabetes. So just because you're not diabetic yet, you know, you don't put your thumbs up and you're in the clear.
Absolutely.
You still look to see if there's possibly yes. insulin resistance as well.
Jenna Aselli, registered dietitian in private practice, talking to us about alcohol with sugar and all sorts of other subjects.